Well, first I'd like to thank Nick for asking me to share this morning, and also, even before that, God, that thanking him that even through all my shortcomings and failures, he's given me and all of us grace and mercy, but allowing me to share God's word this morning. It's been a lot of years, Jimmy, since that time, and we have continually and eventually have changed to for the better. And I think that only because of God, I know that we've been able to do that, been able to change to moving up more towards his standards. And I'd like to share this morning, starting in Psalm 27. And you might be able to call this put on, put off, or gradual change. I'll let you decide, whatever hits you the hardest. In Psalm 27, and the Psalms of David are just so inspiring and awesome to hear his heart towards God. And if you really took some time to consider David's heart before God and how he was a man after God's own heart. And he chased after God's heart. He loved God. In Psalm 27, verse 7, he said, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." And this is where he wanted to be in life, is that he wanted to hear from God. This was his prayer towards God, that he would have, that God would answer him in his time of trouble and anxiety and turmoil. And of course, we don't go through those things, so we don't really need to be concerned with having God answer us, right? Wrong. Well, we have, every day we go through something. And verse 8 says, "When thou saidst, seek ye my face." When God said, "Seek ye my face," and God was speaking plural, speaking with everyone, ye, not thou, but ye, "seek ye my face, all of you." David answered in a singular, pointing to himself. And he said in verse 8, "Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee," unto God, "thy face, Lord, will I seek." And this is where we rise above the occasion in every category in life, is in when we seek God's face. You know, everybody gets up in the morning, right? Did you get up this morning?
Yep.
Okay. Some people put on clothes. Well, actually, everybody puts on clothes, I guess, depending on where you are. But you get up, and if you wear pajamas, you take them off, or something that you wear to bed, and you put on clothes, don't you? Everybody puts on clothes to get prepared for the day. If you didn't get clothes on, if you didn't put on those clothes, you wouldn't be very prepared. Okay, so everyone does that, bar none. Everyone puts on some type of clothes, some clothing, whether it's a pair of shorts and a t-shirt, or a suit going to work, or just a pair of jogging shorts and running outfit, or just another pair of pajamas or something to hang around the house, or a sweatsuit. You're kind of dressed, right? And you're prepared for whatever is ahead of you. And when you go to work, if you are required to wear a shirt and tie to work, would you go into work with a pair of cut-off jeans and a t-shirt and some sandals?
Only once.
You got fired for that one, right? No, you would get dressed appropriately. That means that you're preparing for the day. You're preparing for what lies ahead. If you're working in construction, you're on a road crew, and you have to get prepared for whatever lies ahead, are you going to put on a suit and tie, or are you going to put on your helmet and your work jeans and, your muscle shirt and whatever else you're going to, you know, your gloves, and you're prepared, right? If you're going out to play a football game as maybe a pro football player, are they going to go out with a, you know, just a pair of you know, nice pants and going to their Sunday best? You know, they're putting on their uniform, their pads, their protection. They're prepared for what lies ahead. Why would it be any different spiritually? If you can tell me why it would be any different, then I got a lot more studying to do. Why would it be different for us spiritually to wake up in the morning and put off the old or whatever was before us the day before or that night before and wake up in the morning putting on the new? There's no difference, really. Actually, it's even more important to do that spiritually in our lives, to be prepared for what's ahead, than to not be prepared and to just leave our old pajamas on, okay, and just go out any way we want and get just run over by the bus. Okay. It's like getting prepared for the day spiritually. In Colossians chapter 3. And Colossians 3 gives a really, really good account of putting on things, putting off things. And the reason why I put on before off is because spiritually, it's most important to put on Christ, put on spiritually what we need to put on that God has made available to us, so that we can have the strength to put off those things that we don't need in our lives, those things that drag us down, those things that slow us down in life and make us unprepared for the days and the hours and the minutes to come. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 1 says, "If ye then," or "since ye," it should be "since ye then be risen with Christ." And who here has been risen with Christ according to God? That's what he told us. Everyone, it looks like. "Seek those things which are above." What did David seek?
God's face.
God's face. He God's answer, right? That's what he wanted, to hear from God. He wanted God's answer to him. He wanted that communion with God. And where did he look? To the forces around him? Or did he look above? That's exactly, and that's what it's saying right here, is to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We've been seated there in the heavenlies with Christ. We seek those things which are above to prepare us for the day, not for the things that are around us. See? So therefore we have the strength, we gain the strength by putting on, seeking from above, so that we could put off what we don't need in our lives, all the things that destroy us. In Romans chapter 13, and I said earlier in this sharing that we put on clothes, right? In Romans 13, it gives that analogy. In Romans 13, verse 14, it says, "But put ye on," and "put ye on" is to be endued, clothe yourself with, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. "And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." So therefore we put on Christ so we don't make provision for the flesh. For all the things that are going to be thrown at us during the day, we don't want to be destroyed by those things, so we put on Christ first. And that's what we do in the morning. See? Whether you read the word in the morning or whether you don't, what I'm sharing is that is not going to matter. When you get up, you put on Christ, okay? What if you're late for work? Oh, I got to read the word. I'm going to be 45 minutes late. Just get to work, okay? All right? God knows, all right? And God knows your heart. But you put on Christ. You think on things above, okay? You plant your feet on the ground, and you know who you are in Christ. You see, that's the key to knowing who we are in Christ. We put it on. We clothe ourselves. So in 14, it says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with him." Have we already been endued with power from on high?
Yes.
All right, so why is it telling us here to clothe ourselves again? We've been endued with power from on high, which is Christ in who?
You.
You. It's Christ in you, Christ in us. So if he's already given us that, why the heck would he tell us, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ? Get prepared for the day. Put it on. Clothe yourself. He's already clothed ourselves. You know why? And we're going to see it in the Word today. It's because it's not an immediate thing where you're born again and all of a sudden you're in heaven. You know, you're walking on a cloud, smoking 50-cent cigars, you know, and you've got it made and no troubles are coming your way, and it's a gradual change. And this helps me because I get discouraged a lot. If you're like me, you get discouraged by, why didn't I do that? Or why is this, you know, why aren't I acting this way? Like Paul said, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I do, I don't want to do. You know, we're no different than the Apostle Paul. That's why he says, God tells us, put on Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your Lord. He's my Lord. And this is what we have to think of every day, to put him on. Yes, we're born again. We have spiritual power from on high. We can, you know, be healed. We can see God's healing in our lives. We can minister, pray for people, and see those things, those miracles in our lives. We have Holy Spirit. We can speak in tongues. That's proof from on high that we have Holy Spirit, that we are clothed upon with Holy Spirit. But he still says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Colossians 3. Put it on as a new garment. Get prepared. Starting in verse 8, look at this. But now, in verse 8, King James reads the word now. And now is the emphatic in this verse. Right now, and God is, the way it's written, he's emphasizing, but now, when you get up in the morning, is it now a now?
Yes.
Okay. Is now last night?
No.
No. Is now tomorrow?
No.
Is now even 3 minutes from now? No. Now is now. See? So, I remember us being, most of us, I guess, being taught, now is an eternal now. It's an eternal now because now is now and it never changes. That's one thing that never changes, ever, is now. So he says, now. So that would mean to me, always. Mm-hmm. Ye also put off all things. Put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That means low and obscene speech, okay? We don't want to be there. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, it says lie not one to another. The word says every man's a liar, okay? So has any of us exited that category?
No.
You know, we don't want to lie. We don't want to do that. But the way this actually reads is that don't make lying a habit. Don't do it, okay? Does God know that somewhere along the line, you know, we may tell a fib, you know, we may lie. All right, or we may act deceivingly. We live in a world and in an age that deceives us. And therefore, sometimes when we're not prepared for the day, we're led in that direction. God says, don't make lying a habit. That's what it says. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off, taken off those old things with his deeds, and have put on, that's being clothed upon, the same word as we saw in Romans, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And that's what we do, and that's what we make up our minds to do each morning. See, in Ephesians, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. This, and it's 4:17, Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. In verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And the blindness is the callousness of their heart. And there are people in the world that have a calloused heart. Even believers can develop a calloused heart, really. See? But that's not where we want to go. We be prepared to hear from God in that day, to actually hear from God. We're prepared to walk with Him. We're prepared as we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. The word in Romans chapter 6, let's go there. Romans 6. And we'll come back to Colossians. And in verse 6, knowing this, this is what God wants us to know, that our old man is crucified with Him. That's what the Word says. The Word says that we are crucified. Our old man is crucified with Him. All those deeds have been mortified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The English Standard Version reads, we know. And the reason why we know is because we have the knowledge of God's Word. We know that our old self was crucified with Him, with Christ, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. And that's a little stronger, because when you're enslaved to something, then you're like in bondage. You have chains around you. When you're enslaved and you're not prepared for that day, for whatever reason, you stay in bondage and you stay enslaved, tied up. In Galatians chapter 2, and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. That is the old man, right? Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. See, not the old man, not who I was, or not who I don't want to be anymore. But Christ liveth in me. This is what we've been clothed upon with. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We live by the faith of Jesus Christ. That means that we trusted Him when He did His job, right? We trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. When He did His job, we trusted that that was effectual and worthy enough to accomplish everything that we needed in our lives to walk in the new man. See? The Living Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I myself no longer live. If you put a period there, we'd be in trouble. Right? But it goes on. I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the real life I now have, do you notice the word real? It's the real life. The real life that I now have within this body is a result of my trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So we can live in that renewed state of mind. We can live with being clothed upon with Christ because we trusted Him. And do you ever wake up in the morning and say to yourself consciously, I do not trust Christ today? Has he ever done that? It would be like absurd, wouldn't it? Especially after all we've been taught. And it's the most ridiculous thing that we've ever heard is to wake up and say, I just don't trust Christ this morning. How crazy would that be? No, we wake up and even unconsciously we say we trust Christ. We might not verbally say it, but we know that we trust Christ. Okay? But if we walk in the old man, that's proof that we're not trusting Christ. Okay. It's very simple. Walking in the old man, not being prepared for what comes ahead for the next minute, hour, day, week. You know what's going to happen? Is that we eventually develop the habits of not trusting Christ. See, we've already been taught how to trust Christ. We've learned how to trust Christ. Now it's a matter of our gradual changing every single day. Gradually, it's a gradual change. Back to Colossians, chapter 3. All right, in verse 10, we have put on the new man, which is renewed. The word renewed is a key word here, because renewed can be kind of, you know, foggy if people don't understand. But what the word renewed means, a continual change or a continual refreshment. You ever been refreshed? You jump in the pool and you're just refreshed. Okay, you just, well, this refreshment, renewing or refreshment, is a continual refreshment. It's a growing refreshment. It's not just all of a sudden you're refreshed and, as I said, you're walking around smoking 50-cent cigars on cloud nine. Okay, it's a continual refreshment, gradual. And it will not be complete until when? Right. Until the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It won't be complete until then. So please, don't get discouraged with your walk. All you have to do is look at yourself every day and you get discouraged, right? That's all you have to do. Very easy to be discouraged. Just look at yourself. I look at myself, I get discouraged. I might get discouraged more than anybody else in the room, you know. But I know who I have in me. I know what I have in me. I know who I am. I know where I am. And that's what I have to remember when I wake up. Plant my feet on the ground. But I'm really seated in the heavenlies. See? So, at the return of Christ, this will be complete. And in Romans, hold your finger in Colossians. And if you want to turn to Romans, or else I can read it for you. Romans 8. And in verse 29. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. All right, this also is not a complete, is not in completion yet. The word conformed, we know that word metamorphosis, right? Where a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. Did you ever see that? My kids used to hang, you'd get these caterpillars in their cocoons, and they would develop a cocoon around them and hang them from the kitchen. You know, and then a few days later, this butterfly would be flying around in the kitchen, or however long it took. That's metamorphosis. The word here for conformed, it means a gradual change. It's sumorphos tes ikonos, something like that. Okay, I can really read it right, but I don't want to confuse you. But it means a gradual change. Okay, it comes from that metamorphosis. Okay, gradual change. And that's how it's written here. So you can go back to Colossians. This gradual change in Christ. So therefore, do you feel a little better now about just not getting discouraged about your walk? Okay, you can, at times, you know, you might be disappointed in what you've done, or what I might be disappointed in what I've done. But just don't regret your life. Don't regret what we have, because the biggest thing we have is Christ in us. That's what we focus on. Back to Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, now it's saying it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, whether you're in prison, out of prison, whether you're at work, at home, wherever you are, if you're a slob or if you're, you know, the neatest person in the world, it doesn't matter. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, Christ is all and in all. Christ is in you, and Christ is the focus of the universe. And for us, it should be important. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, Just put it on. It's a command. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. And does the Word of God say that you are elect?
Yes.
You better believe it. We are elect. And look what it says about being elect of God. Next couple words. Holy and beloved. Before God, we stand holy. That means set apart. And beloved. We are beloved of God. That's what He thinks of us. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. That's compassion. Have compassion one toward another. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another. And forgiving one another. You know, Christ's forgiveness is the reason for our forgiveness of others, or for others. He is the reason for that. And where did I leave off here? One other. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And verse 14. And above, or the word above, should be written as upon. Upon all these things that we just read. Upon all of them, on top of it all. All these things. Put on charity, or the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And bond, have you ever bonded anything?
Yes.
It's like glue. You know, there's different forms of bond. Right? Some are stronger than others, but this is the strongest form of bond ever, spiritually, is the love of God. The love of God. It's the glue that holds all of this together. See? So if you can't think of anything else in the morning when you wake up, if you're just a total basket case, and you wake up and you're just like, where am I? Ever wake up like that? Maybe for one reason or another you have, you know? Yeah. But if you wake up and just kind of are foggy, just remember the most important thing. Love. Okay, love. Love God. Love each other. Love one another. Love your brother. Love your sister. Okay. And that's the bond of perfectness. That's the glue that holds everything together. And that's where it all starts. God so what?
Loved
that He gave His only begotten Son. He started it. And that's what He said. He said He loved. That's the first thing to remember. So if we're going to walk, putting on the new man, getting clothed upon with these things that we need to clothe ourselves with and with Christ on us, the first thing we need to remember is love is the most important thing that holds it all together. See, so it says, above all these things, put on the love of God, love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And we're going to close in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. In verse 1. Though I speak, Paul speaking by revelation here, and writing, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not, what? Charity, the love of God, and the renewed mind manifestation, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, what a great feat that is, right? And have not charity, love of God, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not the love of God, it profiteth me, how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. And then it goes on, love of God, charity, the love of God, suffereth long and is kind. The love of God envieth not. Now, you right now, you're sitting next to your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ. All right? And take these to heart, because this is the way that God expects us to walk. Love of God vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly or indecently, seeketh not her own, not looking after her own interests, your own interests, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. That's a big one. Okay, the world wants you to think evil. The world actually rejoices, and this age especially, rejoices in evil. Here it says, don't even think evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And then verse 8 closes that little section there. The love of God never fails. Or you might say the love of God survives everything. The love of God just survives everything. It's the bond of perfectness. And you know what? It's still a gradual change. It is a gradual, continual change every day as we get up in the morning. So don't get discouraged with our walk, with your walk. Don't be discouraged with, how you acted yesterday or what you've done in the past. Those days are past. Those days are gone. Could we have made better decisions in our lives, all of us, and individually? Could we have had better judgment in those days past, or even yesterday or an hour ago? Right? Yeah, we could have had better judgment. Are we human? Yes. All right. Do we have Holy Spirit? Yes. Does God still want us to be closed upon with our Lord Jesus Christ so that we don't look back and say, I'm still discouraged and disappointed and downhearted by what happened 20 years ago? Okay. Don't go there. Every day is a new day. And every suit you put on is a new suit. Every cut-off jeans you put on every morning is brand new cut-off jeans. Every t-shirt you put on is brand new. You got a ton of them in your dresser, all right, your spiritual dresser. You have ties galore, all right? You got brand new shoes, you know, more than...
And all the markings.
Yeah, all of them. Okay. So don't go the discouragement way. Don't go where you think you have to change right away or you're just no good. It's a gradual change, and God knows that. God understands it. And He sees us with compassion and kindness. And you know what? He kind of helps us along. He pushes us along, you know. He says this way. He takes us by the hand, right? Like Jesus Christ did with Peter when he was sinking. The Lord reached His hand down. Peter didn't have enough strength to reach His hand up. It's the Lord that reached His hand down and pulled Him. That's what God does for us. He reaches down. And it all goes back to seeking what's above. Like David said, thy face will I seek. Or thy voice, what did he say? Thy voice will
I seek.
Thy face will I seek. He wants to hear from God. Okay, that's what our attitude should be every day when we get up. And if we forget, we just, you know, we think love, because that's the bond that holds it all together and starts it off. All right, so I'm very blessed to share this gradual change with you. We're all gradually changing, right? Every day we're changing. And don't get mad or angry with anybody because they haven't changed quick enough. Don't go there either, because it's not God's way. Have compassion with people. Okay? And don't envy people because they're changing faster than you, right? But rejoice in their, you know, spiritual success. This is where God wants us to live, okay, and be putting on those things that He would have to put us on. Yay. God bless.